Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. Winter doesn't have to be your downtime for golf. In fact, it should be prime time to get your body in shape and improve your game for the upcoming season. Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield, Wisconsin offers a comprehensive golf performance program. Their innovative approach is geared towards golfers of all ages and abilities and combines medical and fitness assessment, specific golf movements, and TrackMan analysis. Elite Sport and Spine's team of TPI certified providers then creates a plan for you to address your specific limitations, combining golf instruction, physical rehabilitation, and strength and conditioning. Call Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield at 262-373-9168 for more information or visit their website at www.elitesportandspinewi.com and click Golf Performance Training. And stay tuned to Talking.Golf because we're going to tell you how you can score a free sleeve of Pro V1 or Pro V1X golf balls when you make the call to our friends at Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. Alongside Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez here. It is Talking.Golf on a St. Patrick's Day weekend. And Gary D'Amato, happy St. Patrick's Day weekend to you. It is a crazy, crazy time of year. We've got March Madness in college basketball. You've got the state high school tournament. But we had courses open all over Wisconsin, at least southern Wisconsin this week, as the temperature hit 70 degrees on Wednesday. Gary D'Amato, I'm told it's a much different story out your window at the Caledonia headquarters. We seem to have hit a bit of a bump in the road to a smooth opening to the 2022 season.
Yeah, I missed a lot of those course openings, Rob, having been in Florida for the last week, but I shouldn't complain because the weather there was not bad, except for one day when it rained on my daughter's wedding day. but yeah, it's taken a turn for the nastier, Rob. It's raining right now and cold and clammy and supposed to be pretty miserable tomorrow. But then Sunday, you know, the sun comes out and gets in the mid-50s again. So, you know, courses might close or you might not find golfers on courses for a couple of days. But, you know, next week, I think everyone will bounce back and we'll be back playing golf around here.
It was kind of fun to cobble together the list of courses this week. Obviously, you know, Spring Valley, the course near and dear to you, Gary, was the first to open back on March 2nd. Had a friend say that he went down and played that on your recommendation, by the way. And said he had a great time and become a big fan of Spring Valley. But we had a close to 26 golf courses in the Milwaukee area announce openings or open this week. And then another, you know, half dozen in the Madison area. We even had courses in Wautoma, Two Oaks North. My high school basketball coach, Jack Bennett, who won a couple national titles at UW-Stevens Point, messaged me yesterday and said that he was there on opening day at Two Oaks North in Wautoma playing golf. So you cannot keep the avid golfers away. And Westridge Golf Course in Oshkosh open. I've heard talk that Ledgeview Golf Course in Green Bay was supposed to open, but at least on Facebook, they weren't quite sure yet. So we're really seeing, you know, a lot of courses take advantage of the mild weather. However, early in the week, we also had 6 inches of snowfall north of Wausau. So, you know, when we talk Wisconsin.golf course openings, we've got to understand the weather in one part of the state much different than the weather in the other part of the state.
Yeah, it sure is, Rob. And down here, you know, we'll get some bad days coming up here in the next few weeks, obviously. But the good thing about it is at this time of the year now, you bounce back a lot quicker than in January or February when you wait forever for a nice day. So if we have a bad day and maybe get us some slushy snow, you know, 2 days later, it could be 65 degrees and sunny. So that's the good thing as we inch closer to true spring here, which in my opinion starts April 1st. I don't know. That's not meteorological spring, but it's my spring. And by then, you know, we'll be playing golf just about everywhere.
Well, and I was going to tweak the opening read from our friends at Elite Sport and Spine to say that spring is almost here. But then I saw that radar and you've got more green on this than we saw on St. Patrick's Day yesterday, at least in the Milwaukee area. And boy, that baby stretches all the way back into southwestern Wisconsin towards Dubuque. And it would appear, and it looks, oh boy, Gary, there's some mixed precipitation up by Reedsburg and Wisconsin Dells. So they're going to be further challenged to open those courses up there. I know the driving range at Trappers Turn opened, but they were waiting a little bit on the golf course. So
pretty much anything south and east of Eau Claire is seeing a lot of precipitation today. But where there are lemons, you make lemonade, right, Gary D'Amato? And before we came on the air, you mentioned the Milwaukee Golf Show going on this week over at State Fair Park in the Expo Hall. And at least for their opening days, they'll have perhaps a captive audience.
Yeah, today, the show opened today and tomorrow goes full blast at State Fair Park. And both days are supposed to be pretty nasty weather-wise. Today is, and tomorrow is supposed to be. So hopefully there's going to be a big turnout for the show. Sunday, the weather turns a lot better. Sun comes out, gets a little warmer. So it might be they might be hard-pressed to get big crowds on Sunday. But today and tomorrow, there certainly should be a lot of golfers milling around looking at looking at equipment and courses and dreaming, planning their vacations and dreaming of birdies, I guess.
And for our listeners, if you happen to be listening on Friday, when we post the podcast, you might see somebody resembling Gary D'Amato at the show tomorrow. Gary, I know you're like me. You love going to these things. What are you looking for, most forward to at the Milwaukee show?
I just like getting in front of, you know, the golf course owners and operators that I haven't seen for months, talking about the challenges, especially now with, you know, I'm talking to guys about the cost of fertilizer, Rob, and the cost of gas and oil going up like crazy because of, supply chain issues and what's going on, unfortunately, in Ukraine and Russia. So, I look forward to just chatting up all the golf course owners and operators and maybe picking through some barrels of clubs if I can find some somewhere and picking out a putter maybe because my putter deserted me in Florida last week, Rob.
Did you bring it home?
I did. I was tempted to leave it behind, but I did bring it home.
I've got visions of you putting a putter in the garbage bin at the airport before the baggage claim just to bring it down to weight. I'm glad it came home with you. The other thing too is we've seen, you know, great success in, you know, with golf and golf courses in Wisconsin coming out of the pandemic, and I anticipate that, you know, being the same going forward. I personally have not heard anybody talk about what anyone has to do to sustain this success. It's pretty much a given right now that we've seen no drop off in, especially down here in Arizona, where the seasonal prices are probably, you know, record. You've got, you know, most of these courses that attract the snowbirds, you know, commanding, you know, $100 to $200, you know, around, and you know, people that want to play good golf courses seem to be willing to pay the money. And that certainly seems to be the case in Wisconsin. Maybe you'll find out more at the golf show, but you know, I don't think they really have to. That's one of those things. And we talked about it before on the show. You almost don't have to go to a golf show right now to market your course, but we've learned from history that if you don't stay out in front of the public, you might lose that connection and you never know when that connection won't come back.
Yeah, I think, you're right. And I think this is going to be another huge year for golf. Is it sustainable? Can we do it again next year and the year after? We'll have to wait and see because things tend to run in cycles. And right now, Rob, as you know, and as our listeners know, golf is riding a huge boom thanks in large part to COVID. One of the few silver linings that that horrible pandemic is that golf has really prospered. And everyone I talk to thinks this is going to be another huge year for golf.
And that is the Greater Milwaukee Golf Show starting on Friday and running through the weekend over at State Fair Park. And you can go to just Google Greater Milwaukee Golf Show and get more information on tickets and hours of operation. It's Hall C at Wisconsin State Fair Park, noon to 5 Friday, 10 to 5 Saturday, 10 to 3 on Sunday. And all attendees, according to their website, Gary D, receive a free round of golf at Old Hickory Golf Club in Beaver Dam. That would be valid anytime Monday through Friday and Saturday and Sundays after 11. The cart for that round must be purchased for $25 plus tax. But even so, Gary, Old Hickory, one of the great courses in Wisconsin, that's a pretty good deal just for going to the Greater Milwaukee Golf Show.
That's a great deal, Rob. One of my favorite courses in our state and a beautiful golf course, a lot up and down. It's a challenging course that's played host to a state amateur. So, yeah, go get your free round of golf at the Milwaukee Golf Show.
So a lot of the golf being played around the country being played outside of the state of Wisconsin. We'll get to that in a minute. Some great stuff on the college front. But we did have some tragedy in the golf world this week. The University of the Southwest, golf teams that were in Midland, Texas for a tournament over the weekend. I believe it was six of their student athletes and their golf coach killed Tuesday. We now find out that the driver of the truck that crossed the center line and was involved in the collision was being driven by a 13-year-old boy driving an adult home, and don't really know the circumstances that led to that situation. But Gary D, you and I have covered college golf a long time. One of the things that is kind of the elephant in the room with college golf is the fact that unlike college football teams, unlike college basketball teams that oftentimes fly, chartered jets to their away games, in order to make college golf work financially, one of the ends that is, if you want to say cut, or one of the considerations that is made is that you take ground transportation, and that ground transportation is often driven by the coach. And, we don't know the circumstances, of that tournament. I believe it was after day one, which is normally a 36-hole day in college golf. They were going back, and apparently we're going to commute back to the tournament. One of those things that it just breaks your heart, that something like that happens. Obviously, when you've got a 13-year-old driving a pickup truck and he crosses the center line, that should never happen. But it did get that buzz going in the college golf circles that, the circumstances that, college golf coaches also have to be bus drivers, might be one that the sport wants to review. I just, at what point do you kind of draw the line there? I don't know if you have an opinion on that. It's a hard one because you'd hate to see college golf go backwards in the quality of the tournaments that they were giving their kids, and doing what they do with the transportation helps make that work.
Yeah, Robbie, even a lot of Division I programs, the coach drives vans. The coaches drive vans to tournaments. Even Marquette in Wisconsin, they fly to a lot of their tournaments, but they drive to a couple of them. And this has to be just a tragic, sobering wake-up call. I'm sure that's coach's biggest fear when they're on the road, with their team in the back of the van, and they got six guys crowded in the van or seven, and all their clubs and everything. And as careful as you are and as many precautions you take, something like this can happen. It's just, it's very sad for the college golf community if this happened.
And we should say too, just so people are aware, as you picture the van, I mean, different programs have different access to different vehicles. And amazingly, there are some very archaic rules in the, for example, in the WIAC, at least when my daughter was playing, about what kind of transportation you could and couldn't take. And if more open minds haven't prevailed, they need to. However, at the same time, I remember being the year that UW Oshkosh women's team qualified for the NCAA tournament, and they were at the same tournament in Minnesota that my daughter was playing in. They had a wonderful, it was almost like, one of those airport shuttles to the rental car agency.
Yeah,
plenty of room, because the scenario you described, Gary, is exactly the scenario when I was coaching high school golf in California, where you get your Chevy Suburban and you pack. We had six girls, their golf clubs and their push carts all in this vehicle. And luckily I was driving the van a short distance. You try to be, make sure that everyone's, not raising a ruckus or causing distractions, but it was strange. You sign up to be the coach. I'm not sure you sign up to be, the bus driver, but these days, that's part of the drill. I think, the one thing that, really, I think needs to be reviewed is, what kinds of transportation, what does that mean, in terms of the overall, scheduling, and, is everybody okay with it? And, because the other side of that story, Gary, is that a lot of times when you talk, especially to the high school kids, the one thing they remember most isn't necessarily the tournaments they played in as a high school golfer, but it's the van rides going to and from the tournaments, because that's when they have the fun. And it's like, when we take this, a basketball team of three different, JV, varsity and freshmen taking the same bus to their games in the winter. That's when you make those, lifelong friendships. And those are some of the things you remember. So there is a positive to it. It'll be interesting to see how this impacts college golf going forward.
Yeah, it's just a tragedy, Robin. I read reports that this crash occurred The head-on crash occurred on a two-lane highway where the speed limit was 70. It seems odd to have a speed limit of 70 on a two-lane highway. I mean, that's something you see on the freeway, but we're talking about Texas and wide open spaces, so I guess it's feasible, but that just seems like an awful high speed limit for a two-lane highway.
Yeah, it's one of those, obviously one of those perfect, imperfect storms that caused a major tragedy. And, you know, it our thoughts go out to, you know, everybody impacted at the University of the Southwest and their golf programs. And boy, it really, you know, was an eye opener to the college golf world. And the University of the Southwest is, you know, I'm sure going to be reeling from this for a long, long time, as are a lot of the, you know, they called off that final round, which I think was the right thing to do. And I guess we're based out of the schools in Hobbs, New Mexico, and saw a story on USA Today website where the manager of the home course that the kids practiced at, you know, called them great kids, great community members, and just a pleasure to be around. So huge loss for college golf this week. And, you know, one of those sobering, eye-opening things that happen that, you know, really makes you take inventory of how things are done. Gary D, you mentioned the Marquette men. Boy, they had themselves a day earlier this week in the final round of the Bash at the Beach, and a final round 266. And I'm going to quick call up the results from that one. But
I saw that. Wow.
Everybody broke 70 that day. And they were the low round of the day by far. They were able to move up the leaderboard and finish T3 and an 1,800 par total, led by Hunter Eichhorn's final round 66. That vaulted him into a tie for third individually. They also got great performances from Nicholas Evangelio, the youngster for the Golden Eagles, with a final round 63, 8-under par. What a 1-2 punch that was. Kind of made Tyler Leach's 69 look pedestrian. Tyler with a T24 finish, Nicholas with a T13. But up and down the lineup, I mean, individual qualifiers competitors, Josh Robinson with a 72, pretty solid stuff. Patrick Adler with a 68, Max Lyons, the freshman out of Phoenix, with a 69, and Aiden Lafferty with a 69. And then Boom Sima Ari with a final round 68. And, you know, you just look up and down there and some great stuff. I'm not sure what the Golden Eagles had for breakfast that day, Gary D, but wow. That and the biggest thing about that tournament, though, also was it was a measuring stick. It wasn't an exceptionally strong field, but UConn was in there, and that's been the Big East nemesis for the Golden Eagles. And after finishing behind the Huskies the first 2 days, that 66 moved them one shot ahead of UConn in the final standing. So if you're looking ahead to that Big East championship for that, in that battle for the automatic NCAA berth, I tell you what, this tournament tells me that that's going to be quite a Donnybrook when that happens.
You know, I was on vacation, Rob, and called those scores up and had to do a double take. I was like, wow, that's some impressive playing by Marquette. And that 63 by Nicholas Evangelio would have tied the old MU 18 hole record if not for Hunter Eichhorn's 61 a couple of weeks ago. So, that was some superior golf by the Golden Eagles. Fun to see.
Also, we should mention, too, the Big East Championship got moved to a different weekend, April 25th through the 27th, and it moved to Callaway Resort in Pine Mountain, Georgia, a few weeks ago. So that's where they'll go in a few weeks to do that. Neat tournament coming up next for the Golden Eagles, a week from Monday and Tuesday, at Palm City, Florida. They're at the Valspar Collegiate at the Floridian Golf Club. So it'll be a chance for them to get back down. And then April 3rd and 4th, the Calusa Cup at Calusa Pines Golf Club in Naples, Florida. Been there at all, Gary?
Is it really at Calusa Pines?
It is.
I just played there last week, Rob, and I'll tell you what, it is an impressive private club. Very built by Dana Fry, who one of the architects at Erin Hills and Troy Byrne and Wild Rock in our state. And Dana helped get me on there with a couple of members who were very gracious to me. I played with Dana's 17-year-old stepson, Noah Kent, Rob. And I'll tell you what, this kid's going to Iowa on a full ride. He finished second in the Florida High School State Championship, lives in Naples, and had just won another junior tournament somewhere. And I played two tees up from him and he out hit me by probably 60 to 70 yards on every tee. So he was out driving me by 100 yards. You know, I was hitting out there 225 and he was out there 325. But a great golf course. The greens were 15.3 on the stimp meter, Rob. Fastest greens I've ever putted.
Wow.
By far. I mean, faster than Oakmont's, faster than Augusta Nationals. I had 6-3 putts, which is why I alluded to my putter not behaving earlier. But Marquette's in for a treat. You said Marquette's playing there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're in for a treat. That is one heck of a golf course.
And believe it or not, it's hosted by Iowa. So that's interesting. It's got the Iowa Hawkeye logo on there as the host school. So a lot of schools hosting events where it is a little bit warmer. And so that will be one to look forward to. So a lot of good stuff coming up on the Marquette schedule. We had some other good stuff happening that Gary D'Amato detailed last week in Sweet Spot with Ty Kretz of Marinette and Carly Moon of Baraboo. Ty is a freshman at South Dakota State and Carly a sophomore at Winona State. They both won tournaments out in the state of Nevada last weekend. Ty Kretz with a final round 400 par 68 to share medalist honors with Griffin Parker of Northern Iowa and Willis Gare of Eastern Kentucky at the Jackrabbit Invitational. So that's an event that South Dakota State hosts in Boulder City, Nevada. Ty finishes at 4 under 212, the first win of his collegiate career. It also earned Ty, it just named overnight, the Summit League Player of the Week for that win. And Carly Moon leading Winona State to a first place finish at the Legacy Invitational. And Carly shot 84-77. The 77 was the only sub-80 score in the event. And Winona State won the team title by 5 strokes over McKendree. So some good stuff there, Gary D. Even more stuff going on this week. The NIT of golf being played at the Omni Tucson National. If that course sounds familiar, that's where they had the Cola Guard Classic on the PGA Tour Champions just a few weeks ago. And the University of Illinois playing there. The first round, as we record the podcast, on a Friday in the books. And Pearson Hunt out of Illinois, the only Wisconsin golfer in the field, opened up with a 200 par 70. And he currently stands T43 in a pretty good field there, Gary. Number 1, Oklahoma. Number 2, Oklahoma State. Number 5, Arkansas, headlining the field. And after one round, it was Oklahoma State and New Mexico in a tie for first place at 266. So some pretty good stuff down there at the Omni Tucson National.
Yeah. You think about strength of field. You think Pearson Hunt shoots 270, tie for 43rd. That just shows what the strength of field, because in a lot of tournaments that would be, you know, tied for 20th or tied for 15th. So there's got to be an awful lot of good players with some of those top ranked teams in that field.
And interesting, after one round, Sam Choi of New Mexico is leading the way with a 9-under par 63. William Ma, who I thought was in the top 5 for defending national champion Pepperdine a year ago, is playing as an individual this week, opened with a 7-under 65. So again, you see different lineup combinations this time of year as everybody tries to, you know, either get guys, you know, kind of ratcheted up for the postseason. But so not often you see an individual shooting a 65. And then 3 guys from Oklahoma State, which, you know, Jordan Niebrugge's alma mater always seems to have great depth there. And they've got guys at numbers T3, T3, and T5. So the Cowboys look to be pretty strong again. And, of course, everybody in college golf looking to get back to Arizona come May. The NCAA championships will be played over in Scottsdale. And so that's kind of the pot of gold, as it were, here on St. Patrick's Day weekend for college golf teams. As we look ahead, speaking of our two winners in Nevada, they weren't the only ones winning tournaments in Nevada, Gary D. We had the WPGA, of course, had their Las Vegas Invitational, or their Las Vegas Pro-Am, I should call it. And the winning team comes from Ridgeway Country Club in Neenah. And that was captained by Scott Lemire, their head professional. And they shoot rounds of 133, 120, 133 in 3 different net formats. And they're 386 total, good for a 2-shot win over the North Hills team, captained by David Roche, and including Vince Suter, one of the sponsors of the Wisconsin State Open Championship. And then, of course, Brian Brodell's team from X-Golf Mequon and Golf Galaxy finishes also in a tie for second. So it looked as though like they had fairly good weather out there, although I believe one of the tweets out of the WPGA said very windy in the final day. And when the winds pick up in Vegas, sometimes the golf ball doesn't stay in Vegas, does it, Gary?
No, it doesn't. Hey, was a guy named Jim Roski on that played with Suter on Roche's team?
Yes.
The Rock. Went to high school with him. He plays in every pro-am all summer. Member at North Hills with Roche and Suter. They all play together. I think they must enter every single pro-am in the state. Those guys better be good. They play a lot of golf.
Well, they couldn't beat the group that included Clifton Kreischer, Jim Van Vonderen, Terry McDonald, and Lee Roth. And I tell you, Scott Lemire, hopefully getting his golf in now. I know that they got a big staffing change up there. Their longtime assistant pro, Craig Joy, headed down to Florida. And so a little bit different look to the staff at Ridgeway this year. But obviously, Scott, who has a kids playing high school golf, he's got his hands full. So neat to see him and his team come away with the W. But anytime you can knock off David Roche and Brian Brodell's teams, you're doing something right. Andrew Runkle of the Bog, his team finishes in fourth. And Derek Schnarr, I believe they were the defending champions out of Blackhawk Country Club. And the legendary Van Stout, if you're from the Madison area, Channel 3 news director. And Van's, despite Van being in the lineup, and if he hears this, I'm sure he's going to give me grief. They did finish fifth in defense of their title. I tell you what, last year when they won, it was kind of like Jack Lemmon making the cut at Pebble Beach.
Rob, one of these days you and I have to worm our way into that junket. That just sounds like so much fun. I know those guys have a blast out there.
It really does. And boy, you know, and credit to the WPGA. I know when I talked to Joe about that invitational, you know, that thing sells out faster than any event they do. And you know, you just, again, it goes back to our conversation. We'll talk more about it after the break here. But, you know, people want to go places to play golf. And that's why Wisconsin's become a destination course. People in Wisconsin also want to go elsewhere to play golf. And I've gotten a lot of questions about golf courses in the area I'm living now in Arizona. Of course, you know, a lot of questions about, you know, Southern California golf courses. And then, you know, you get people going to Texas, you get the Robert Trent Jones Trail in Alabama. And then, you know, down in Florida, you know, just the number of courses like, you know, you saw last week, Gary, it's a great time to get away and play golf. And I really, you know, it's one of the things the WPGA does. It just gets bigger and better, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. They obviously they run some great events, and that's the, it's like the Daytona 500. It leads off their season, and it's probably the biggest event of the season, not counting the, you know, the state open and some of their championships. But as far as pro-am goes, that is the kingpin. And I'm putting this out to Joe Stadler and Chris Hole and the guys. I want to play in that someday. Get me in that, guys.
Put Gary and me on that and someone that can carry both of us, and I think we'll have a great time.
For sure. For sure.
Well, Talking Dot Golf, sponsored by Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. Spring is just around the corner, and tell you what, you can still get your game in shape for the upcoming season. Call our friends at Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and ask about their comprehensive golf performance program. It's an innovative approach geared towards golfers of all ages and abilities, and combines medical and fitness assessment, specific golf movements, and TrackMan analysis. Elite Sport and Spine's team of TPI certified providers then creates a plan for you to address your specific limitations. Call Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield at 262-373-9168 for more information. You can also visit their website at www.elitesportandspinewi.com and click on their golf performance training tab. But if you call Elite Sport and Spine at 262-373-9168, tell them you heard about the golf performance program here on talking.golf at wisconsin.golf, and that's how you can score a free sleeve of Pro V1 or Pro V1X golf balls just for making the call to our friends at Elite Sport and Spine at Brookfield. That number again, 262-373-9168. Gary D'Amato, we mentioned it before the break. Wisconsin is a destination. You mentioned it in one of the articles you wrote for our Wisconsin.golf yearbook. But now all of a sudden this week, kind of a quiet announcement out of our friends at Sand Valley, but the next course is underway, or will be underway and open in 2024, Sedge Valley, designed by Tom Doak. I believe Tom Doak also involved with the Lido. And the private club that's being kind of reimagined up there at Sand Valley. Initially, when Sedge Valley was being conceptualized, and we don't know much about it with the announcement, but it was going to be perhaps a shorter course maybe a par 70 type layout, but no matter what comes of it, it's just going to add to the empire up at Sam Valley.
It is, Rob, and it, you're right. It is going to be dramatically different than the first two courses up there. The original Sam Valley designed by Corin Crenshaw, and then Mammoth Dunes designed by David McClay Kidd. Both of them are on huge swaths of land with gigantic corridors, driving corridors, fairway corridors, big greens. Everything about them is big, massive. And this course is going to be more intimate. I read Tom Doak saying about 6,800 yards, or 6,000 yards, I'm sorry, par of 68. So even from the tips, it's going to be something that we can handle with our drivers, Rob, but you're going to have to hit it straight. You're going to have to hit it a lot straighter than on the first two courses at Sand Valley. And Tom Doak has said that he can do more things with the greens and give the greens a little more character because the holes will be shorter. So, and it's something that he's going to be working on simultaneously, you know, as he's working on the Lido, the private club that is set to open next year. They're going to have a soft opening later this summer and we'll have a grand opening next year. And then Sedge Valley would open in 2024, which will give the resort then 71 holes, I believe, counting the par three course, the sandbox. That's right. A lot of golf. And there's a lot of golf in the area outside of Sand Valley, Rob. That is already a hotbed and it's getting hotter.
Absolutely. And, you know, as we talk to people, you know, everyone wants recommendations about where they can go for guys' weekends. I've never seen, and we've been around a long, long time, I've never seen the demand for buddy weekends, guys' weekends, even couples' weekends. I mean, now with a course like this with the sandbox, you've really got, opportunities to, cater to any demographic of the active, avid golfer. And boy, I don't know if you can tip your hat enough to the imagination that Mike Kaiser and the crew at Sand Valley has put into developing, what was once just sandy soil in central Wisconsin.
Yeah, they've got the magic, the Midas touch when it comes to golf. Started out at Bandon Dunes in Oregon, obviously, and includes a couple other resorts around the world, and now this one in our home state that they didn't even initially want to do until they saw the land and realized how great it would be for golf because of the sand base. And I don't think they're even close to being done, Rob, because those tee sheets at the first two big courses are filled every day in the summer, similar to what we see at Whistling Straits or in Erin Hills. And, there's going to be more golf up there. They own an awful lot of land, thousands and thousands and thousands of acres. And there's room for a lot more. So I don't know where it's going to stop, but it's a great thing for our state to bring all these destination golfers here instead of sending them all over the place, other states.
It absolutely is. One of the other things that struck me about, with Tom Doak doing the, this course, and it being somewhat unique in compared to the two championship courses that are already there. Tom Doak, also the architect of the Loop at Forest Dunes in Michigan, and our colleague from Golf Time Midwest magazine, Don Schell, has played that course many times, and it's a reversible course. You play it in one direction one day, and then they set it up to go the other direction the other day from, with greens next to tee box. I haven't been there. I can't imagine this, but Tom Doak pulled it off. And I guess, that tells you all you need to know about the imaginations of golf architects, but especially Tom Doak.
And I have played the Loop, Rob, and it's fantastic. I mean, you play it one day, you play it the next day backward, essentially. And, although the green complexes are exactly the same, you're approaching them from the opposite side. So the course has a completely different feel. You stand on the green and go, I played this green yesterday, but I played it from this direction and it's completely different going in that direction. So it takes genius really to do it. It's a lot harder to do a reversible course than you think. You think, well, you just throw up some greens down and play, back and forth one day, another. Well, you got to think of a lot of other things besides that. And he pulled it off there. And he's, certainly regarded as one of the finest architects of our time.
Of the two of us on the podcast, Gary, you are by far the more worldly golf traveler. You've played more courses, more states. So I ask you this as the expert in the room. Of all the golf courses we have in Wisconsin, have you been anywhere, seen anything in another part of the country that you feel would work in Wisconsin that we don't already have? I can't imagine we have much missing from our golf portfolio.
No, Rob, you know, I think from a public course standpoint, we have the best golf in the country now. I mean, private courses, you go to New York or California, you know, they've got more and, you know, certainly more high-end public or private clubs. But as far as public courses, I think Wisconsin is as good as any state in the country. And the variety is what makes it, right? We have the courses along the lake. We have wooded courses in the North Woods. We have, you know, the central sand barrens where Sand Valley is located. And we've got great public courses that are affordable in towns, you know, from Kenosha up to Superior. So I can't imagine that there's a better place to play public golf than Wisconsin.
Well, I can't wait to see what comes of the new Sedge Valley. Again, 2024, circle your calendars. That will be the targeted opening for that course just south of Wisconsin Rapids. Really, it's got a Nakusa address, but it's also south of Nakusa there along Highway 13, right next to Lake Arrowhead and just down the road from Bullseye Country Club in Wisconsin Rapids. Century World just up the road from the Wisconsin Dells courses. And of course, if you're coming from Milwaukee, you're probably going to somehow traverse over the Green Lake area where you've got Mascouten Golf Club in Berlin and the golf courses at Lasonia in Green Lake, among others. It's again, another area of the state that has made golf better. And again, it'll be fun to see what comes next beyond even Sedge Valley up at Sand Valley. Gary D., other golf course news. This one written by our colleague Dennis McCann. The first golf course traditionally to open, they were second this year. Evergreen Country Club in Elkhorn has been sold to a buyer that includes a Chicago area businessman, Nihang Anadan. And he also is a partial owner of the Par 5 Resort in Michigan, which was formerly known as Fox Hills Golf Resort, and the Par 4 Resort in Foxfire Golf Club in Wapaka. Evergreen's been one of those, tried and true, always in good shape type of courses. And you hope that this ownership change only enhances the long-term for Evergreen.
Evergreen does a great job with outings, Rob. In fact, I play in one every year, the St. Francis High School alumni golf outing to raise money for the basketball, for the sports programs at St. Francis High School. And that one gets like 240 golfers, Rob. It's an amazing turnout for that. And you probably know a lot of them with your St. Francis connections. Evergreen does.
And I'll say this, I wouldn't stand ahead of them on a tee box. Let me tell you that much.
Yeah, you're right about that. But Evergreen does a great job with outings, and it's one of the more popular courses in southeastern Wisconsin. So let's hope that things stay the same or get a little better with the new owner.
And so you can go to wisconsin.golf, read that. And then Dennis McCann also has our little reader for the weekend and a fun little story about a company out of Wisconsin, Old Fashioned Golf, fledgling apparel company started by three longtime friends in the headline. And all you got to do is look at the shirts they're wearing. And it is a colorful company. And they are making apparel that, puts Wisconsin on the golf map.
Yeah, those shirts look pretty cool. I love the shirt, the white shirt with the little Wisconsin, state of Wisconsin all over the shirt in a pattern. They've hit upon a good idea. And we've got some nice companies doing golf stuff in our state, golf apparel with Iron Jock and now with Old Fashioned. So it's pretty cool to see.
And you can go to that story here on wisconsin.golf. It'll be up there through the weekend. And a couple of guys, we should mention who they are, Kyle Herzog, Joe Moretti, and Scott Biley. They were playing Thornberry Creek in 2020 when someone walked by wearing a hat with a familiar logo. And you know what? Sometimes, you see things, Gary, and the light bulb goes off. It did. And we have a great apparel company to show for it. And like you say, it a lot of Wisconsin in it, a lot of color in it. So go to the website and check that out. Gary, what are we thinking for this week in terms of golf and the forecast? Are we going to get back out in the golf course, at least in the Milwaukee area?
You know, it's not a great forecast, the long range, but temperatures mostly in the mid 40s all week. I think the best day will be Sunday, and then it, you know, we're talking 44 to 46, 47. That's good enough for me, Rob. As long as the sun's out and it's not too windy, I'll be out there beating balls.
We've got the Valspar Championship going on this weekend next week on tour. They have the World Golf Championship Dell Technologies Match Play Tournament. So if you can't get enough of brackets after one weekend of the NCAA basketball tournament, you'll want to check out your brackets for the match play. I think that's always the fun part about that. Head-to-head, mano-a-mano. We saw last, September, with the Ryder Cup. There's a lot of great potential matchups in something like the World, the Dell Technologies World Golf Championships match play. I think I'd like to see one with Daniel Berger and Victor Hovland after last weekend's line of flight dispute when Daniel Berger went in the hazard at the Players Championship.
I read about that, yeah. But they handled it, they had a little bit of a heated exchange on the course, but handled it like the professionals they are. And I don't think it's an issue. I don't think it will be an issue going forward. But yeah, never a dull moment on the PGA Tour, Rob, especially these days.
And they haven't posted yet the field for the alternate field event, the Corrales Punta Cana Championship down in I believe it's Puerto Rico. That's one that sometimes we see an appearance by Tony Romo. I don't know if we're going to see that this year.
Yeah, I don't know. I have not. Usually by now I'd have seen something across the wire about his name being associated with that tournament. And I haven't seen anything, so I don't know.
I believe Jim Kelce did retweet something, though. He did play golf this week with Michael Jordan. So maybe Tony found higher stakes golf to play in the PGA Tour. Speaking of higher stakes, this is kind of going to be kind of a curveball on our agenda, but it just came to me when we started talking about money and golf. But the Saudi Golf League is going to be making a stop at Rich Harvest Farms in Illinois. I don't know if you caught that. That's pretty close to home for one of their domestic events. I thought it was cavalier that they'd even announce a schedule to begin with, let alone one stop that is in basically our neck of the woods. But as someone on social media pointed out, PGA Tour hasn't exactly been kind to the Chicago area of late, basically converting the Western Open into a playoff event and then moving it away from Chicago. I think that it still makes money for the Evan Scholars Foundation, which I think is great. But I tell you what, there was nothing quite as great as the July 4th weekend event at Cog Hill. And that's one that I miss on the calendar.
Yeah, there's no doubt that they're filling that Saudi Golf League is filling the void in Chicago. And Rob, that's mid-September, and it's, probably 80 miles from my house. So depending how this whole thing goes, I may be going down there and watching some of that golf. We'll see how it goes this summer.
I would hope they would pay the media to come.
They might have to.
You could buy a couple putters with, maybe an appearance fee from the Golf League event at Rich Harvest Farms.
They can buy me for $20 million, I'll tell you that. I'll walk on my hands all the way down there. How's that sound?
Well, for now, we're going to let you go check out the Milwaukee Golf Show and see if you can find a putter there and one that can handle 15 stimped greens. I don't know if you're going to see those ever again. You might have to play two courses to get to 15.
Yeah, hopefully not. Hopefully we'll keep it around 10, 11, 12 where I'm a little more comfortable.
All right. Well, we'll hope you enjoy the show tomorrow. We can't wait to read Sweet Spot on Monday to see who you talked to and what they had to say. Gary will do Talking.Golf again next week.
All right, Rob. Great. Thanks.
All right. For Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez, this has been Talking.Golf, sponsored by Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. Winter doesn't have to be your downtime for golf. In fact, it should be prime time to get your body in shape and improve your game for the upcoming season. Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield, Wisconsin, offers a comprehensive golf performance program. Their innovative approach is geared towards golfers of all ages and abilities and combines medical and fitness assessment, specific golf movements, and TrackMan analysis. Elite Sport and Spine's team of TPI certified providers then creates a plan for you to address your specific limitations, combining golf instruction, physical rehabilitation, and strength and conditioning. Call Elite Sport and Spine at 262-373-9168 for more information, or visit their website at www.elitesportandspinewi.com. Click on that golf performance training tab. But don't forget, if you call Elite Sport and Spine at 262-373-9168, tell them you heard about Talking.Golf, about their golf performance program here on Talking.Golf, and you can score yourself a free sleeve of Pro V1 or Pro V1X golf balls just for making the call to our friends at Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.